Hello, the internet, and welcome to this special holiday edition of the Daily Zeitgeist, in which we are going to talk about Star Wars.
Star Wars!
The Last Jedi, and we have a couple special guests. We have Danny Fernandez.
I am here. I'm enjoying the Star Wars talk.
Oh, yeah.
For the Star Wars.
Thought that there would be no better guest.
And we are thrilled to be joined by our writer, J.M. McNabb.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, all the way from the Great White North. I think I wanted to just preface this conversation by saying that I have heard many takes on this movie since it came out, and we mentioned this on last week's episode. Star Wars is so close to people that I don't think everybody has the same reaction. Like, I think it's uniquely divisive, and I think people's reactions and the things they focus on. Like, I've heard a bunch of people who liked it the same amount as me, but who disliked completely different things about it than me. I've heard people who loved the things I hated the things I loved. It all depends on your relationship to Star Wars, and, you know, everybody has grown up with Star Wars, so it's...
But some people definitely got way crazier than others about
right,
it, too.
Right.
Like, real fucking crazy.
Danny, what's your relationship to Star Wars like?
You know, I grew up, I didn't see it originally in theaters, which apparently some people on the internet think that that's god-awful. Because I have heard, no, when Force Awakens came out, I had a guy that was like, Star Wars is mine. Like, I saw it in theaters before you were born. I'm like, okay, why don't you write Daisy Ridley and John Boyega then too? Because they also didn't see it in theaters.
Right.
You're right. Fans are so possessive of it. And it's like, you gotta let, it's not entirely your, you don't get to claim the whole fandom for yourself. I think a lot of people, what I've been seeing, like you said, like online, is that people had these theories about what was going to happen when it didn't happen. If everything that you wanted to happen happened, you would have said it was just like huge fan service.
Right.
You know, oh yeah, this was predictable is another thing. And then if nothing happened that you wanted it to happen, same thing. People are still saying, oh, it's fan service to these fans. Oh, that was super predictable. I think it's a lose-lose either way. I think people are taking it way too seriously. The fact that Johnson got like death threats is insane. That, to me, means that you're not an actual Star Wars fan, because Luke and Leia and Han Solo, like, they wouldn't want you to be doing those things.
Right, exactly. I guess first, should we just go around and everyone state if they are on the I loved it boat, the I didn't like it boat, I liked it but boat?
Yeah.
What boat is everyone on?
But you guys, you didn't say it. This is spoilers, right?
Yeah.
So,
I feel like you
should
let
people
know.
We'll do something crazy right here. Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. If you do not want to know what the fuck happened, turn it off now. Otherwise, prepare to have the film ruined.
Yeah.
Boom.
You're welcome. I feel like that would have been...
Okay, I love the part where Samuel L. Jackson showed up.
But, okay, so Jack, where do you fall in terms of this continuum of people who like or hate the film?
I thought it was okay. I really wanted to love it, and I did not love it, but not for the reasons that I've heard most people not loving it.
So. Danny, how about you?
I thought it was okay as well. I enjoyed it. I mainly liked the last 40 minutes. Like, I thought those were great. When shit started happening.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I understand the other parts of it, but it didn't feel the same to me.
Yeah.
It didn't feel the same as like other Star Wars films to me, which is okay. I figured when I was leaving the theater that like a lot of people would love it, and I didn't realize that so many people would also not.
Right.
Yeah.
JM, I'm assuming you've seen it as well. Where do you fall on this?
Yeah, I really liked it. Like, maybe close to loved it when I saw it.
Interesting. Okay.
There were definitely like some weird parts, but overall, yeah, I really liked it. I also saw it like the very first screening on Thursday night, and I hadn't read any reviews. So I went in pretty like I didn't know what to expect in terms of how other people were feeling. So
right.
I was pretty surprised to hear all the hate. I thought like everyone in my theater really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I also went to a theater where they sell wine. So I had a couple of glasses of red wine while I watched it. So
and
maybe
I was
that's the trick.
I was surprised to also that's interesting because I went with somebody who had a couple drinks beforehand. I did not drink. The person who had a couple drinks really liked it way more than me. I was actually shocked to not like it as much as I did because of how glowing the reviews were.
Right.
Like we talked last week about how Metacritic has it at like an 86, which, you know, Rotten Tomatoes can be off because it's like, you know, you're trying to get everything down to a thumbs up or thumbs down. But like Metacritic goes into detailed scores for each review. You would think, I don't know. It was just, it was surprising to me that it wasn't, you know, an all out win.
Yeah. I'm in the kind of a boat like the rest of you guys. Like, I didn't hate it, but there are parts that definitely bummed me out as a Star Wars fan, like that I wasn't enthusiastic about. And I don't know if we want to go like line by line or things like that, but I think I'll say a couple things, right? I thought there were really dope parts, and then there are parts that made me scratch my head that I was like, is this real? Like, yeah. Why did Luke have to drink the titty milk
right
out of that thing? That was one thing that I thought was a little
comedic,
odd.
It was. Yeah.
They have comedy stuff in the original Star Wars.
Sure, sure,
yeah.
Sure.
That.
Okay, another thing. Why did Laura Dern have to have, like, purple hair? Like, why couldn't she have just been blonde?
Complaint.
No, like, my complaints aren't really big. Like, I'm not like, oh, I'm so pissed about this character or whatever. I was just like, little things. I'm like, yo, Laura Dern's character was interesting. And my favorite part was when she just straight up kamikaze'd herself at light speed. That was the dopest shit I've ever seen.
I was like this turned the film around. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, when she 9/11'd at light speed, that was, pretty crazy. But I also think that was pretty crazy. Like, there were two things like that where you were rooting for the person who was driving a thing into another thing, like 9/11 style.
Oh, like Boyega, too.
Yeah, Boyega at the end, too. It was like, yo, that's crazy that we flipped that much. But I thought the scene with Snoke when Snoke got, and the whole, like, palace guard scene was one of my favorite scenes in Star Wars in a long time.
Yeah.
I loved the light speed 9/11, even though somebody pointed out that, like, well, doesn't that just mean you could have always done that? Like, you could have done that to the Death Star. You could do that to anything
right.
at all times ever in the history of
Star
Wars.
Yeah, but that's a big – but that ship itself that they were in, that's, like, one of their only ships that they have. So that's why it was big for the rebellion. That's why they didn't want to get – they couldn't forfeit that ship. That meant a lot to them. It was one of their resources.
Got it. That makes
sense.
That's or they'll have to add it like a scene in New Hope where like all the X-Wing pilots are talking about it. Like, I don't really want to do that.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Maybe
I don't
want
to die for this.
Well, couldn't like a small squadron of X-Wings achieve the similar thing too? Because they can also warp.
Yeah.
Like kill themselves?
Yeah, like if they
but that's the thing is that the rebellion is so small that they don't want to lose.
They don't have kamikaze resources.
Yeah, they're not going to go into something, or at least their generals aren't going to want them to just kill themselves.
I appreciate that. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's fine. So my main issues were everything on the island I thought felt really flat. Like dramatically, it was like, Luke, come back. No, I'm not going to come back. Luke, please come back. No, I don't want to come. Like it was just like sort of a dead thing where he was just like blocking her at every turn. And I don't know, that whole section felt somewhat dead to me, but I loved the Daisy and Adam Driver stuff. I thought that was pretty
cool. That was dope. There was anybody mad that it felt like we were adding like new things to the Force that we didn't know about till this movie?
Yeah, that was the other thing that bummed me out, is I just felt like by the end I was like, oh, so I didn't know what the Force was at all, and maybe that's okay, but it for some reason that bummed me out, that like the Force was just something anyone could have if they just concentrated.
But I don't
enough.
Think that's what it is, but I think what Luke was saying is that it's not just a lightsaber. He was like, this isn't what the Force is.
Right.
You know? So his whole thing, like the Force being within you, it's not within everyone. I think it's within choice select people. And I'm not like a huge fucking Star Wars head, so please don't write me because I don't care. But about how you want to correct me.
Where are the midichlorians from then?
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that that's what he meant, is like it's not just in this thing. And it's not just in those books. And it's not just tied to these objects.
So it's like a combination of nature-nurture. Like it's something you can be born with, but then you can also like,
well,
depending
on how
much.
And I meant that even beyond more like a philosophical aspect of like the physical mechanics of the Force, right? Like the projection stuff was like new to me, or that like you could basically die in the vacuum of space and then kind of like tow truck yourself.
That
back
is,
in
yeah,
to the
that
ship.
Was a lot. Yeah.
I was kind of cool with Leia dying like that.
Right,
I thought, oh shit, like that was just like
sending
a war death.
Yeah.
Right.
And I thought when her hands started moving, I thought she was maybe communicating to Luke or something.
That's
like,
what I thought.
I'm dead,
too.
Bam, come through. Yeah. It's lit. But she was like, no, I'm coming back in the ship and I'm still alive.
Jam, was that a thing that we've seen people do with the Force? Or Danny, maybe you know this, like what astrally projecting yourself into a hologram across like space? Is that a thing we've seen before, like a non-dead Jedi do?
I don't think so. I mean, there have always been kind of like weird things that have been explained away by the Force, I feel like. I don't think they ever really like explained in Empire why, you know, Luke had that vision of Darth Vader in the cave. I think, you know, sometimes they did just kind of pepper in mystical things and, you know, have it be the Force. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like that they were expanding the mythology mm-hmm. of what the Force yeah. could be in this movie. Okay. I like that they were showing us something new.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it was a bit weird at times that, yeah, no one mentioned the astral projection thing.
The thing that really got me heated was that Luke is like the most powerful Jedi, right? We could agree on that. Is that not like that we know of. Right, sure. But in terms of what we know as viewers of the film, that like to date, Luke Skywalker was the most lit Jedi. And I thought his death could have just been a little bit cooler. Like I understand like this function it served, but I felt like he could have done like a samurai style thing where he really did roll up and fight all those ATM sixes and just be like, what's good? And then maybe died at the end and still achieved like the, like serve as a distraction for what's left of the rebellion to escape. But I just thought, I felt like I wanted to really see like Luke just wild out one last time as a fan, but I guess.
But he kind of did in his projection. You know what I mean? For sure. But then I think it was kind of like an ode back to his master Yoda and stuff like that, where it was, you know, this like peaceful death. What he achieved was that it was like, yeah, he served this distraction in this really violent scene, and then he kind of just whisked
yeah, it was
away.
Like, peace out.
But that's a lot of what the Jedi is supposed to be. They're supposed to be, you know, not this violent attack force. They're supposed to be this, like, peaceful.
No, for sure. But then they're also Jedis who, like, valiantly fought in, like, no-win situations.
When they have to.
Right.
I see it as, like, karate almost. I feel like that's kind of what they...
Pure self-defense. Like, it's not an offensive art. It's a defensive
art. That's what they have, you know, don't go to the dark side. Don't, you know, the whole good versus evil. I feel like it's more of, like, Jedi, you only use that, like, in karate. I don't know. That's what I feel like. They took a lot of it from, I think originally, was that, yeah, you're supposed to only use it when you have to. I'm sure someone's going to write me a whole thesis. Please don't. I've already had people write me thesis about Batman versus Superman.
No, you just made it work a lot better for me in your description. So, JM.
That's why I keep asking you, Danny, because I'm like, I know, because like, I'm looking at it as like a, for me, the movie's like, I loved it. It got me into movie making. The idea of like when I would see behind the scenes stuff. Yeah, like that's sort of my connection to it. So I'm really interested in the mechanics of the film, which is why I'm like kind of hyper focused on those things. Cause rather than like the plot things, obviously like I can forgive most of those things, but there were things like the casino world that I felt like was a little odd, and like the wardrobe felt really shitty to me. Like the whole idea of Star Wars, like we're in places we've never seen, cultures that have never existed, but there are all these like touchstones to Earth culture, like with tuxedos and like champagne drinking kind of thing that I was like, whatever, I guess, but again, these are like all minor things, but
yeah, and it wasn't as bad as like the space 50s diner in whatever that was,
right.
They go to like the Seinfeld diner,
yeah. I'll just say one more thing I loved Snoke, like, I just think it should always be a rule that if you have like a really main, like, boss bad guy, their death should be super dramatic and violent. And like that death was so dope when they just like mm-hmm. fucking chopped him in half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he like fell apart into pieces. That was super sweet. And then the thing I think my main issue, and this was also my issue with Force Awakens, is I just thought the Han Solo part in Force Awakens and the Luke Skywalker parts in this felt dead to me. And I feel like the movies will be better going forward without the old-timey characters who, like, don't want to be there kind of being there and being, like, dragged through. But so, JM, you had a read on the symbolism of Luke that I thought was interesting.
If you look back at kind of the history of Star Wars, it really seems like in the original movies, Luke was kind of this author surrogate for George Lucas. Like, his name is practically the same as George Lucas's last name. And also, like, people have kind of inferred that the Darth Vader stuff may have been based on some personal stuff with his dad, who wanted George Lucas to, like, take over the family office supply business, which is less dramatic than ruling the galaxy. But, you know, you can see the emotions behind it.
Right.
So I always kind of saw these new movies as trying to kind of continue that that metaphor of Luke Skywalker as George Lucas. Like, I very much read The Force Awakens as about George Lucas kind of almost like a reconciliation with George Lucas after he made the prequels. And, you know, because at the beginning of Force Awakens, we learned Luke Skywalker did something shitty. He created like the new space Hitler and he's off in exile.
Right.
So,
and George Lucas, this is the first Star Wars movie without George Lucas. And it's a movie where like Luke is an actual like absence in the center of the movie. That's interesting.
Right. Yeah. I even thought that like the name, the First Order, was like a reference to the prequels, because the First Order would be like 1, 2, 3, but maybe that's just a tinfoil hat kind of thing. But anyway, so I guess that was kind of in the back of my mind when I was watching this. And like, you know, that moment that ended the last movie that leads into this one where Rey's handing him the lightsaber seemed like this kind of olive branch to George Lucas, to, you know, saying, you know, we love this thing. This is a love letter to you and your original movies. And like in real life, George Lucas crapped on the new movie. He, you know, he said it was too retro. He called Disney white slavers for some reason. He thought that would be a good thing to say. But so I guess like in that moment where like Luke Skywalker like tosses the lightsaber over his shoulder, I've seen a lot of people online complaining about that. But I guess based on the context of Luke as sort of this Lucas surrogate, I like that all made sense to me. And him being a cranky, reclusive old man made sense to me.
Huh. Yeah. It doesn't make it any more fun to watch.
No.
Right. I'm like, I don't need the subtext of George Lucas's relationship to the film weaved into this film. But but it does seem like a lot of that does track.
That is interesting.
But I thought it was funny. The whole throwing the lightsaber away is because that's not what it is expected. And it was like this moment that was built up for years.
Right.
We were waiting to hear Luke Skywalker talk again, because the last time we heard him talk was decades ago. And that this huge pivotal moment we've been waiting for, she hands it to him and he just tosses it.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's a funny thing to like, just like this huge moment that fans had built up, and it's like, yeah, what, you know, whatever. Like, I love that it was unexpected. And I what I really hate that fans are reacting is that they shit, a lot of them shit on Force Awakens. They said it was too predictable. It was nothing new with Abrams being there. And now they have this new film and now it's too different.
Right.
And now they're excited to have Abrams back again. It's like, what? You cannot
settle down, Goldilocks.
I was fine with The Force Awakens. I didn't have nearly as many complaints as I did about this. But again, they were more like stylistic things. And also there was just some like plot shit, but that's what Star Wars films are. Like also, like I wanted Captain Phasma to still be around.
I know.
That was whack as fuck
character.
To me. Like,
that is a wasted character.
Yeah, because in Force Awakens, you're like, oh, this is going to be fucking dope.
Oh, she's going to come back?
Yeah, yeah.
She's going to have her moment. No,
but,
she didn't.
But
she
then
didn't
do you also remember she's like standing in front of Finn and like they're about to get killed. Then Laura Dern just blows a spot up, carves a ship in half. And then suddenly Phasma emerges from the smoke, like from another like bay door.
Yeah.
I was like, weren't you just standing there before all this shit went down? They were like, oh, just things like that. I don't know.
Like, yeah. And I feel like the other moment that was like that was like the opposite of fan service-y was when they revealed who Rey's parents are.
I know.
That was probably one of my favorite moments. Like, that whole scene just ruled. Like, they did a great job with that scene. That reveal was cool. Adam Driver was so good in that moment, and so was she. Yeah, I thought that was great. I'm definitely going to go see the next one on opening weekend.
You know who else is? All of the fans that are complaining.
Yeah.
Everyone is still always going to see these movies, no matter what.
Still right. Yeah, and again, like, it was funny because as I watched it, I started bumming myself out because I was like, man, like, is this movie bad? Like, am I not liking this? And I was in my own head a lot of the time. So I need to watch this. I'm going to watch it again.
I want to watch it again,
just
too,
to make sure that, like, my complaints are still valid, especially after this conversation, because there were things that I wanted to discuss with other, like, well-meaning, well-thought people who watch the films. And we'll see. But the other thing, I don't know, I just want to also bring up, we got another Star Wars film coming out in, like, 5 months anyway. So
the Han Solo movie that has not released a trailer.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Like anything.
That's scary.
That is scary, man, because they usually fucking tease the shit
like
out.
Like 9 years out.
Right.
Well, it'll also be interesting to see like what the tone of that is, because, you know, Force Awakens was so steeped in nostalgia, and this one like just constantly felt like almost a repudiation of nostalgia. Like it was all about getting rid of the things that were comforting or familiar and taking the narrative in different directions. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if, like, the Han Solo movie seems kind of predicated on the idea of just, here's a bunch of people you already know.
I can't wait for one of these movies that's moving forward in time that is just Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, and Adam Driver, like, anchoring the thing. I think that's going to...
And Kelly Marie Tran.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's good, too.
Her acting performance, I don't know. I didn't like her kiss and die thing. That was, it reminded me of Marion Cotillard in that Batman film, where she was like, I'm going to say this thing, and then die.
She passed out. She used the last of her energy to tell him that he meant something.
But
those
Star Wars story films, those side films like Rogue One and stuff, they always have like a whole other vibe. They're always like, this is not Star Wars. This is a Star Wars story. And it seemed like Paul Bettany, like the quote that keeps coming out is like, this is a gangster film.
the with Star Han Wars Solo character. One?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I have a feeling this is not going to be anything like, I mean, I'm here for it. I'm here for all of them.
It's
anyway.
Like Baby Driver.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Star Wars.
Right. All cut to like.
Kind of the same thing. He's like a baby driver. He's like a driver. Film.
Right. Yeah. All cut to Space Pop.
Yeah. Oh, God. Could you imagine? It's all the music from the
Stylized,
Cantina
yeah.
band. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Jam, anything we didn't get to that you wanted to call out as particularly liking or disliking?
I would just say, like, to further that Lucas metaphor, like, the ending is kind of wacky as the astral projection thing was. I think it ties into all of these themes we've been talking about in terms of, you know, like, Luke creates a projection, which is, you know, like a movie. And in the end, it's not about Luke so much as it's about he inspired, like, future generations represented by whoever that little kid was at the end, who was literally like playing with a Star Wars action figure at the end. So I think it was kind of like, as much as people aren't digging it in certain ways, like I think it is kind of setting up a movie that we might like based on what we've been saying. Like it's setting up a movie where like the heroes are going to be these new characters that we all like and less about trying to recapture something that was done 30 years ago. So I think it's maybe a more interesting movie than it is like a successful movie or a fun movie to watch. I still thought it was really interesting. I'll have to see it again.
That metaphor that, definitely right? makes me like it more. Mm-hmm. Danny, your analysis of it makes me like it more. Anything we didn't get to that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, possibly the people that are like, keep politics out of this film should go back and watch the
All
original films.
Yeah.
Same with the people that say that about superhero films, like, keep politics out of Marvel and DC. Maybe you should read a comic book.
Yeah,
right.
And see where that comes from, because a lot of times filmmakers, screenwriters, and writers are influenced by current events, and they put that in the film, and that is also... Star Wars. I don't know if you're like, oh, what does the Empire represent? Right. Oh, no, it's just the mean people in space.
Right.
So maybe get over it and understand that politics, there is going to be political commentary in most of the things that you watch, okay? That inspires most of the filmmakers that you love, and you need to get over it.
Right.
And if you want to be a filmmaker yourself, because that's a lot of the fans, like I look at their thing when they write hate shit to
right,
people,
right, right.
and it'll be like, want to be filmmaker,
right.
you know, and they have like every single movie review YouTube channel in their thing. Maybe you should consider that as well, that sometimes current events and political events that affect the entire nation and world influence
or zeitgeist.
Or yeah, influence the filmmakers that you love. And if it makes you uncomfortable, so it might have done its job.
Right. And also it's a very specific political choice that most movies for the first 100 years of cinema were like predominantly, disproportionately, and unrepresentatively, like, starring white men. It's like, that's not how the actual world looks, so that's actually more of a political decision than having, like, a representative cast. Miles, anything you wanted to bring up before?
No. I mean, I think to that point of, like, the people were like, oh, this social justice warrior shit, fine. Like, whatever. I really don't give a shit. The one thing that I will say is, like, them, like, literally describing the military-industrial complex, like, so literally.
That was
literally,
so funny.
I was kind of like, like, you can do that in a nuanced way and still get the point across, but I just felt that was, like, it just felt, like, actually literal.
Right.
Like, with, like, fat cats, like, basically getting, like, rich off the whole thing. I'm totally down with spreading the word about this whole thing, but I just felt like some of this stuff felt like lazy writing.
I
Not even
that
the message was wrong. It's just like... But I guess that's how you communicate to younger people who they're trying
yeah.
to also inoculate with these sort of things. They're like, this is, yeah, people make money off conflict.
But I think not only that, I think it was the fact that it was conflicted with them that, oh, they're also supplying you.
Right.
And I think that that's internally like the good versus evil thing. And especially even us as like a nation is like, oh, well, we consider ourselves good. But then it's like, oh, we're doing these bad things too.
Right.
So I think that that's, yeah, I get what you're saying though.
Yeah, it wasn't even the message, just like the presentation.
You're like, okay, do we need a PowerPoint of it, everyone?
Yeah. It's like,
okay.
This is the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower was warning everyone about.
Well, I think it also kind of hooked into, like, the theme of no one's, you know, all good and no one's all bad.
Yes.
Right.
It kind of disregarded, like, the light side and dark side of the Force in a way, which is maybe also why people are kind of unhappy, but I kind of like that.
Yeah, my mind cannot take that sort of complexity. All right, thanks everybody for joining us for Star Wars Minute or Half Hour. And we'll be back the next time there's a Star Wars movie out. Bye.
Bye.